Jesus is speaking. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the manure pile. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the piece that I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there spent his possessions with riotous living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Do you ever feel alone? forsaken, feeling like no one cares, let me introduce to you the God who searches. Where we started in Luke's writing, Jesus talks about salt that's lost its ability to flavor. And he said it's not good for anything. You can't restore it to usefulness. It's not good to be thrown out on the ground. It's not good for the manure pile. That doesn't even do good there. And if you have ears to hear, then listen. And then Luke says, then, at that moment, at that point, as he has talked about totally worthless things, all the tax collectors and the sinners listened to him gladly and invited him to eat with them at their houses. These are the people that are not fit for the manure pile. And they see something in Jesus, they hear something in Jesus that attracts them to Jesus, and they say, would you come eat with us? And the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Holy of Holies, the ones who should have been leading the sinners, complain and murmur. Luke uses an interesting word, murmur. It's a sneaky word. It's an underhanded word. It's the word of somebody who will look you in the eyes and smile and hug you and stab you in the back while they've got their arms around you. And they said, this man eats with sinners. Their clamor was ghastly. They are totally beside themselves. Because you see, in that day, if you went to somebody's house to eat, if you sat down at someone's table, you accepted the invitation, you broke bread with them, that meant that you were accepting that person as someone of real value and someone of real worth. You weren't just sharing a meal. You were saying, this is someone who is worth something, someone to interact with, someone to come to know. It's not like being on a cruise ship where they say, would you like to share a table? And you sit down with six or eight folks you don't know from Adam's house cat and have a meal. And you get up and go on. In that day, if you went to somebody's table, it meant something. It meant you're accepting it. You're entering into a relationship with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes, who were the religious leaders, were insulted, were output that Jesus accepted the invitation to people who were not fit for the manure pile. And at that point, Jesus says, all right, listen to this parable. And he looks the scribes and the Pharisees right in the eye. He hears the complaining. He hears the murmuring. And he says, I want you to listen to this parable. It's one parable of three parts. Classic three-part sermon.
He says, what man of you who has 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, will not leave the 99 and go out and look for that one sheep until he finds it? Look until he finds it, or else finds his carcass. And they would have laughed, because shepherds didn't act like that. Shepherds didn't behave in that fashion. Most shepherds were hired to keep the animals. They didn't own the animals. They were hired folks. And to go out at night in the darkness, in the wilderness, and look for some wandering sheep is at risk to the shepherd himself. And they just let it go. Because sheep being sheep, in a while, you'll have 100 again. But Jesus is talking about a different kind of shepherd. He's talking about a different one altogether. Who leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes out and looks for the one lost sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he puts him over his shoulder, he comes back in rejoicing, and he calls all of his friends together. He says, rejoice with me, I have found the one sheep that was lost. They begin to make merry. And over here you have the manure pile people, and over here you have the self-righteous people. And Jesus said, there's more joy in heaven over one manure pile person who repents than over 99 just who don't need to repent or don't think they do. His joy is out of all relationship to the situation. You've got 100. You still have 99. You find the one and you rejoice out of all thought and relationship. And then he says, or what woman having 10 coins and losing one of them will not light a candle and sweep the house until she finds it? They would have laughed. Because you see, in that day, women were second class or third class. And for a woman to have 10 silver coins was almost unbelievable. And for a woman to own a house, and Jesus said it's her house, was unheard of. Very few women had property. Very few women were women of importance in the community. Almost no woman was. That was the society. That was the day. And she sweeps the house so she finds the coin. Let me tell you about the house. Those houses were not at all like our houses. They basically were there one room. And there was a stairway on the outside that went up to the roof where you could go in the evening and sit and have a nice tea and enjoy fellowship with your friends and neighbors and enjoy the cool of the evening. And then you would go down and go to bed. Now, over in one corner of the house, you would have some straw. And the animals that you owned, you would bring in, and they would go over into that corner. And you'd have this hay or straw, and you'd have unfortunate bowel movements from the animals. And she lights the candle and sweeps the house, hands and knees, until she finds that one lost coin. And you say, well, she still had 9. Why bother for that one coin? And I read one commentator who said, we don't really know what that one coin was worth. And that's true. You couldn't put an exact dollar amount on it in 21st century money. And he said, whatever it wasn't worth much. Well, he gets it wrong. He got it wrong. That writer got it wrong. Because that one coin was worth a day's wage. Now think about what you make in a day. Or if you're retired, think about what you used to make in a day. School teachers in this area average $38,000 a year. Breaks down to 180 days, which is what the contract is,
and you divide the figures up, and you figure out what it is, and you come up to an incredible sum of, well, let's see, $180 for that one day. A registered nurse makes $72,000 a year. That's $275 a day. A secretary, $25,100 a day. An accountant, $50,190 a day.
Now take that figure, whatever it is you make for a day. Go back down the road, go into Washington, go down to the square, go into that beautiful building at the end of the square that has a clock on it. Go upstairs, get up as high as you can get out on the roof, and take that money that you made in a day, convert it into $1 bills, and stand up there and throw it out in the air. Now it's a little bit different, isn't it? That one coin, that one day's wage. And she searches until she finds it. And then with rejoicing, way out of bounds about what the whole situation's worth, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found that one coin that was lost." And Jesus said, "I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one manure pile person who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And then he said, "There was a father. And this father would have been a man of property. He would have been a man of wealth in order to do what he did in this story. He had two sons. And the younger son came to him one day and said, 'Dad, I want what's mine. I want my inheritance. I want what I get when you die. I don't want to wait for your corpse. I want it now.'" That's as insulting as it sounds. And even more so. Because in effect, he's looking his dad in the eye and saying, "I want you dead. I want mine." And the father would have been within his right to have taken his hand and slapped the boy across the face and thrown him out. But instead, he converts his property to cash. He does whatever he has to do. Sell animals, sell property, take out a loan to give the boy what he's asked for. Now here's the way it worked in that day. He had two sons, so he would divide the property up into thirds. If he had four sons, he'd divide the property up into five parts. Because the oldest son gets an extra part because the oldest son will take care of his parents in their old age. But that one third that's left, he gives it in cash to the young son. And a day or two later, he gets all his stuff together. He takes the bag of money, takes his clothes, packs his suitcase, heads out of town, goes to another town where there's riotous living, and he gets right in the middle of it. Walks into the bar, says, "Set up, boys, drinks are on me." And he has a great time, and he's good time Charlie, and he's everybody's friend until the money runs out. And Jesus said, and then there came a famine in the land. Folks, I've never been where there's been a famine. I've read about famines, I've seen famines. I've been in intellectual capacity where there have been famines, never been physically there. But what I know about a famine is it didn't happen overnight. And this young boy, totally ignorant, totally arrogant, doesn't see the signs, spends all of his money. His money's gone. He's not only without money, he's without friends. The good time Charlie doesn't have any friends when the money's gone. And he looks for work and he can't find work. He's hungry and he can't find food. And finally he goes and sits and hires on with a pig farmer, a Jewish boy working for a pig farmer. Jesus said he would have eaten, and I guess he probably did eat, the carob seeds that the pigs eat, and all they would have done for him was fill the empty spot. They wouldn't have given him any nourishment. Then all at once Jesus says, he came to himself. And he said, here I am, knee deep in hog slop, starving to death, and the servants, the lowest servant, the last hired one, back at Dad's house, has it better off than I am. I'm going home. I'm going to tell my father I've sinned against heaven and against you. I've blown it. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Take me on as one of your hired hands. And he goes home. Yeah. The old man sitting on the front porch in the rocking chair with sweet tea. He looks down the road and he sees this bedraggled man. No idea how long he's been gone. Probably been a while. Bedraggled, filthy, covered in pig juice. But the old man looking down the road says, that's my boy. You don't think that's true? You don't think that would happen? Bonnie and I have twin sons, identical twin sons. When they were little, we dressed in orange. And in the wintertime, with them wearing pants and boots and a hat with a hood, idiot gloves, idiot mittens, you know, the kind that the string goes up through around so you can't lose it, walking away from me, I can tell you who was Michael and who was Matthew. Dad, looking out down the road every day since the boy has left, recognizes his son. And he runs to him. And he puts his arms around him and he kisses him. And where his lips had touched that dirty cheek, where the pig juice was, the lips come away and they're an imprint of the old man's lips. And the boy says, Dad, I blew it. I disgraced you. I disgraced the family. I disgraced the town. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I'm not even worthy to call you father. Just hire me. Take me on as a hired hand. And the old man doesn't hear a word he says. He says to the servants around, bring me the best robe in the house, which would have been the father's robe. And bring me a signet ring. The ring that you would take and dip into hot wax on a legal document or on a bank document that says, I've got the right to make this transaction. I've got the right to take this money. He's already spent his one-third. Put it on his hand and bring shoes for him. Sons don't go barefooted. Slaves go barefooted. Sons don't go barefooted. And kill the fatted calf and let's have the biggest party this town's ever seen because my son, who was dead, is alive. And they began to make merry. You know what made the difference to this boy's life? When he began to look back over where he had been and what he had been and what he's left behind, Jesus said he came to himself. When I was a boy growing up in Laughlin, Maryland, we didn't have a movie theater in Laughlin. Laughlin only had 600 people. And we had a gas station and a restaurant and a couple of churches. And Oddfellas Hall. Most folks don't know what the Oddfellas were, like the Kiwanis and the Lions. They were called Oddfellas because they, in their creed, God was first and country was second and family was third, and they did all they could do to support all three of those. And the Oddfellas, once in a while, would have a movie in the hall. didn't have a real movie projector like in a theater. And when they came to the end of one roll, they had to rewind it real fast before they could put on another roll, another reel. And I remember going to see a John Wayne World War II movie. And as they rewind it real fast, the wings that were shot off the planes come back on. The planes land backwards. The folks that were killed get up and walk away. And they take the bombs out of the planes and walk away with them. And that's what this boy is doing. He's reviewing his life. And he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he went home. You have a shepherd who searches. And a woman who searches. And the father who's never stopped looking. And Jesus doesn't want us to focus on the sheep or the coin or the boy, but on the shepherd and the woman and the father. Because he says, that's the picture of God who searches for the manure pile people until he finds them. The God who searches. I started out by asking if you feel lonely or forsaken, all alone, friendless, helpless, hopeless. Here's the God who searches. Jesus has given us three radical pictures of grace. Three radical pictures of God. These stories are pure, unadulterated grace. There's nothing fair about these stories. Life isn't fair. Who said it was supposed to be? Grace isn't fair. Grace is grace. There's nothing fair about these stories, particularly the last one. The Father is not acting out of fairness, but out of grace. The boys disgraced the father. The boys disgraced the family. The boys disgraced the town. One reason the father ran so quick to get to the boy was, if the townspeople get to him first, they're going to string him up. It's just the way it was. You disgrace the town. But when the father throws his arms around him, that means he's off limits. That means grace is in action. And this would have been good news to the tax collectors and sinners, the manure pile people. God is like this unusual shepherd, this unusual woman, this unusual father. The gospel is not about deserving. It's about grace, pure grace, and grace is never fair. Not the way people thought about God in the first century. But when it would get into their hearts, they would know that they were included.